This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
From lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara to lift and color from their Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is the go-to for amplifying everyday looks. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
Thank you to Lola Blankets for sponsoring this episode.
What Came Next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening.
Robin Lee is a court reporter, mother, survivor, and co-victim of murder from Southern California. Although Robin's career in the criminal justice system has given her a unique perspective, it was the loss of her beloved mother, Jerry Lynn Boswell, that truly opened her eyes to the realities of the criminal justice processes. Jerry Lynn's 2021 murder came after years of documented abuse at the hands of her son, Robin's brother. And after what felt like a never-ending battle to seek justice, Robin is left picking up the pieces of her origin family. The Broken Cycle Media team is incredibly grateful for Robin's friendship, honesty, openness, and willingness to share Jerry Lynn with our audience. This episode is dedicated in loving memory of Jerry Lynn Boswell.
My name is Robin Lee. I grew up in Southern California in the Temecula Valley. Justice for Jerry has been my theme because I want to honor my mom, Jerry Lynn Boswell, and honor all the victims of murder and the co-victims of murder because it is a very long, tiring road. I have 3 beautiful children, 22, 27, and 25. They all live here in Montana with me. Currently, I am an official court reporter for the state of Montana in a small community, although it's spread far apart. I work at the district court level, which is the state level. I sit in court hearings as a court reporter every day and then have to transcribe such hearings for appeals and whatnot. As far as growing up in California, my mom and my dad and my brother, we all lived in a guarded gated community in Canyon Lake, California. It was beautiful. My mom, Jerry Lynn Boswell, was a wonderful, beautiful, talented, fun, loving person. She was a wonderful human being and a wonderful mom, as was my dad. My mom was rather shy. She had her best friend from junior high and they hung out all the time. My dad, my mom's best friend, and my mom, they all went to Linwood High School in Los Angeles. My grandpa, my mom's dad, had a boat in Long Beach Harbor. So he would take them out on the boat and they would cruise out to Catalina. My grandpa was a huge boat guy, and that's what they loved to do. My mom and my dad probably started dating when they were seniors. They dated for about 3 years, off and on, I believe. I was born 3 months after they got married, which took me 18 years to figure out. So I was like their love child, I guess. But they were just so happy. My dad adored my mom. My earliest memories of childhood is we had this red chair and I would sit on my mom and dad's lap. And every Thanksgiving, we would watch Wizard of Oz. Then my brother came along. We still lived in LA. I was 3 when he was born, 3 and a half. We moved to Canyon Lake. It was supposed to be like a vacation house, but we moved there to get out of the big city. Canyon Lake and Temecula was just farming, cattle. There was one high school and all the kids went to the one high school. We had a boat too, and we would go out on the boat at our lake. It was a man-made lake. We could water ski on it. In a certain area, we could be pulled by a boat. So we spent a lot of time outside doing boating stuff. I couldn't have had a better childhood. I grew up as a happy child. I was more or less independent. My mom put me in dance class. And those are some good memories of dancing and doing recitals. I remember seeing my parents in the audience when I was dancing and their smiles. I started going to elementary school, and then my mom put us in a Christian school, which I was fine with, but my brother didn't do so well there. He got spanked because they would spank you at that time if you did something bad. I just remember when I was in sixth grade, we had to eat our lunch. They didn't like us if we didn't complete our entire meal. My brother refused to eat his meal. He just wouldn't do it. He was rebellious, and it just continuously got worse. He made me walk over the top of him when I was wearing shorts so that he could see my private parts. And then he giggled and laughed, and he was so coercive in doing that. I didn't even understand why he wanted me to do that. And then the blackmailing, he's like, don't tell anybody I said it, or I'll just say it was all your idea. It was very shameful for me, but for him, it was a tool. He would yell at me because I was playing a Sean Cassidy record, and I left to go into the kitchen or somewhere. My brother peed on my record, and it's ruined now. Like, who pees on someone's record just because they don't like it? Then I started high school, and he started junior high school. We ended up going back to public school. And that's when things started to shift even more, because he wouldn't do his homework. He was certainly capable of doing homework. He just didn't want to do it, and he felt entitled. Just like cleaning his room. I cleaned his room all the time because we didn't have any more glasses. They were all in his room. So he just was entitled. Like, I don't have to do anything. My mom would do his homework for him just so it was done so he wouldn't get into trouble at school. She just couldn't take him getting in trouble anymore. He did not have issues with socializing with other kids. He just did not respect authority. He just became lazy and spoiled. My mom and dad, I think they recognized it, but I also think that they just figured he'll grow out of it. Then my brother stopped doing the boating stuff. I would go out and sail on this little sailboat my grandpa had made. But my brother didn't do those kind of things. He just stayed in his room. I don't remember him doing a lot of things outside unless he had a friend over or our cousins were there. He was home a lot. My mom always wanted to go out and do boating or go camping. We went camping quite a bit. I mean, we had a lot of fun. My mom and I had our own like separate relationship. When we got older, high schoolish, it was more like my mom and I and my mom and my brother and dad, and then my mom and dad and I. So it kind of shifted when he got into his teen years. We got to the point where we didn't have the family dinners together anymore. We didn't watch TV together anymore. I try to remember all the happy, happy times because there were. Then the drugs came into play.
Thank you again to Lola Blankets for sponsoring this episode. As the world's biggest homebody, I relish my downtime, and I also relish a good blanket. In fact, I had a huge blanket collection until we found Lola Blankets, that is. Now, no other blankets matter. For us, it's the incredibly soft, easily washed, oversized comfort. We love them so much, I've had to get an extra large Lola blanket for each member of my family. Lola is the world's number one blanket for good reason. Crafted with ultra-soft, luxury faux fur and a signature four-way stretch that sets it apart. Plus, it's machine washable, double hemmed for durability, and stays flawless. No pilling, no shedding, even after repeated washes. Lola is my go-to gift. It's personal, beautiful, and something people actually use every single day. Lola also makes weighted blankets for calming, therapeutic vibes. And don't miss the matching pillows. They look amazing, and you save when bundling. And for a limited time, our listeners can get 40% off select Lola Blankets products with code WCN at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code WCN to get 40% off your order. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know What Came Next sent you. Wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets.
He started doing drugs when he was 15. Most likely, he started smoking pot. My parents, they like to smoke pot. I'm not going to deny it. And that was probably when I was older, just starting high school. My brother would sneak around and steal their pot. He stole everything from them. He didn't get his high school diploma. And then my parents helped him start a business. He's mooching off my parents, living there, starting a business. Sandana. The idea was it was for wearing around your head and the back of your neck. It was like for all sporting, even if you're laying on the beach, you just don't want your head to get sunburned. And then it became huge in the paintball world. And it kind of grew to success. But then my brother just started unraveling. As far as wanting to be a court reporter, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a lawyer. I just really was fascinated with the justice system. And I found a trade school in Riverside, California. It took 3 years to pass the test. You have to speed build up to 210 words per minute. And then you have to study English, grammar, medical terminology, human anatomy, court procedures, legal terminology. And then you have to take a test on all of those. And then you have to do your steno test. So you write on the machine. You have to pass it at 200 words per minute, 98.5% accurate, so that you can go into the courtroom or take depositions and be accurate. And that was back in the day when it was paper. So I had to take my paper notes, go into this room, type it up, and then wait to find out if I passed. I passed the test in 1991, New Year's Eve. At that time, my relationship with my parents was somewhat distant because I did move away. I did not like it there because it was on a dirt road, and when it would rain, I couldn't get out. So I moved to San Dimas. It was closer to LA so I could work. And so I worked in LA. I was probably 23 years old. My brother and my mom and dad, they would do things together all the time, and I was not included. They went to the Grand Canyon without me, and I was just like, why wasn't I invited? I got married in 1998. My husband and I met when we were young. We were just children. My husband's dad was best friends with my dad's brother. They had four boys, and they lived close to each other. So when we would go to my uncle's house, my husband and I would see each other when we were like 10 or 11 years old. And we also went to the same high school, although I was a year older, so I didn't know him that well. I was a song leader, so I did watch him play football and stuff. I thought he was very, very handsome. And then we went all these years. I got married and had three kids, and I moved to Idaho.
As Robin was forging her own adult life, her brother began cultivating his criminal record. The first known charges on his record in Riverside County, which is where he grew up, took place in 1999. Those charges included driving under the influence and a failure to appear in court.
My brother had warrants out for his arrest in California, and then he moved to Kauai. I actually went to Hawaii a couple times because he needed help, quote unquote.
While in Hawaii, Robin's brother got married and began creating a family. He also began accruing a long list of criminal charges on the island as well. In fact, between the years of 2002 and 2006, he faced charges in over 8 cases, mostly relating to traffic crimes that include, but are not limited to, inattention to driving, driving under the influence, driving without a valid license, and driving with a suspended or revoked license.
After being in Kauai for a short period of time, maybe 4 to 5 years, my brother had to flee because he had warrants there. That basically was his MO. He just went and did whatever he wanted, and then when things were getting tight, he would take off. He came back from Hawaii, I would say, 2008. When he came back from Hawaii, he still was trying to run that business, but he was taking people's money and not producing the product over and over and over. Then he started in with more drugs. The desperation, I guess, he had keeping his high. My dad retired when he was 42 because he had something called trigeminal neuralgia, and it's very painful. That's where the muscle relaxers started. So he did get a prescription for muscle relaxers, and then they found out they could get them in Mexico. And so it originally started with my dad, but it wasn't like an abusive relationship with the muscle relaxers until when my brother came back. They would get so high sometimes, all three of them. I was like showing up for a birthday party or whatever, and I would be the one watching all the kids because they were either sleeping or just wandering around like a zombie. And it scared me. My dad died a year later from congenital heart failure. Could have been from stress, could have been from his illness. He died in the house, in the bathroom. That was just really surprising. And then as far as the funeral services and stuff, I didn't have anything to do with it. My brother just took control. And I believe it was totally for financial benefit. He did not have a job at that time. He was living off my mom and lying to her, basically. Once my dad died, the whole thing unraveled with the Santana. I just saw it dwindling, and then they put everything in my mom's name, and she had to pay all the taxes.
In 2014, Robin's brother's trademark for Santana lapsed, and he lost exclusive rights to the name. In January 2017, a pro paintball player filed for the Santana trademark and revived the brand. The current Santana brand is completely unaffiliated with any member of Robin's family.
After my dad passed, that's when my mom and I even became closer, because I knew things were starting to go off the rails. My mom didn't tell me a lot of it at first. She kept everything hush hush. Every month, I looked up his criminal history. It's probably 50 pages, stealing, distributing any kind of drug. Then there was criminal endangerment, car crashes, totaling cars. She would call me and ask me to check the jail roster. It started to become a strange relationship between my brother and my mom, almost like he cast a spell on her. He started giving her drugs that would knock her out, and she would wake up and her cars would be gone. Her debit card would be gone. She had no food. She had no water. One time, she sent me a picture and she had a black eye. She said she walked into a cupboard. I don't really believe that. I think someone hit her. So it's like there was no more men around to go down there and stop him. I had to rely on my friends that were like his age to just, hey, can you stop by my mom's house? In 2014 is when my mom called me and said she was locked in her closet. My brother was tearing up her room. She was surviving every day. Sometimes she would have to walk in like 110 degrees to Walmart or Target when she was 70 years old just to go get food and barely had any money. I mean, there was at one time when she called me and she's like, I don't know what's going on with my bank account. I just tried to order food from Albertsons and it didn't go through. Your brother is taking all my money. She would vent and rant, and I would just listen and I would give her options. You can always come up here. I would love that. I have 2 extra bedrooms because my kids are gone at college, but she never took any steps because she didn't know how to move forward and get out of that situation. In the meantime, I'm in Idaho. My husband was back and forth with my mom and with me, and I'm trying to be the mediator between those two because he was so pissed off at what my brother was doing to my mom. That's when we got the call. She said, if anything happens to me, it's because your brother killed me. I said, Mom, you got to get out of there.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
I started calling Adult Protective Services, dispatch. I just wanted welfare checks because I even got her own cell phone and said, hide it from him. Do not let him have it. He got it somehow. It ended up at the Temecula Police Department. So he never allowed her to have any freedom to be able to do anything. He had complete control over her. I believe that he took her phone away so that she could not contact me because I would call and send a text. I would not hear anything back. And then I would start texting, thinking my brother had her phone and saying, I want to hear my mom's voice. That is my mom. I started calling dispatch over the course of 5 years. The dispatch calls, they weren't good because they would just knock on the door and she would open it. They would check on her and call me back and say, she seems fine. I'm like, but does she have lights? Does she have food? Well, I can't go inside, they would say. I even went so far as calling animal control, because I knew she had so many cats there. I visited, I saw dead cats everywhere. It was just so gross. My brother had her living in jail. It was awful for her. He had 4 children, and my mom took care of them while he would disappear. And then he got in trouble because my mom had no way to pick up the youngest that was in kindergarten. So the police brought the little one home, and that's when CPS got involved. And CPS took all 4 of their kids. That was devastating for my mom. This was probably in 2016. When he would go to jail, there were a couple times when he went for a month, and he would just cry, call my mom constantly and cry, and call me. I actually gave up a ring so that he could have some collateral to get out, because I was buying into his bullshit too for a while, wanting to help, especially after he lost his kids. Here, I'm doing my own thing. I'm successful. My married life was good up until my husband's dad passed away. And when he passed away, my husband started drinking a lot. And that was really hard because, of course, I loved him so much. But he was not very kind to me towards the end of our marriage. And sadly, he ended up dying of a heart attack at 46 years old. I went through all that stuff in 2015 through 2017. Meanwhile, my brother is in California just ripping my mom off. They didn't come to Idaho to help me at all when my husband passed away. They didn't come to his celebration of life. I actually got an email from my brother's wife saying she was happy my husband died. I was grieving my husband. I was grieving my dad. It had been 6 years. I was more concerned about my mom being alone and isolated because my dad was gone. But my brother just kept on going, kept on breaking the law. He went to prison the end of 2018, I believe. His charges were off the chart with stealing prescription pads and writing fraudulent prescriptions and then going to different pharmacies and getting the prescription. And then he would turn around and sell them, his wife included. And they finally got caught. Leading up to that, he was really bad as far as drug possession, drug paraphernalia, criminal endangerment, driving under the influence, multiple counts of those constantly. And he had a crime in LA, San Diego, Orange County, Riverside County. It took 2 to 3 years for him to finally get in through the process of the court procedure of being sentenced and sent to prison. There was a plea agreement, and they must have dropped some charges and gave him 4 years to the Department of Corrections with 3 years suspended. So he only had to serve 1 year, and he had 3 years hanging over his head if he violated his release conditions and his rules of supervision by the probation and parole department. He was supposed to serve an entire year, and he only served 8 months of that sentence, and that pissed me off. He got out in August of 2019. He was on probation, and he had rules of supervision and conditions of release, and he did not follow any of them. As part of his release conditions, multiple times he was supposed to go to rehab, but one time he did go to an NA class under the influence. There was no testing requirements that I recall, no going to rehab, and then there was no punishment for not following his release conditions by going to those classes. So when he got out early, he started repeat offending over and over and over. So there would be warrants out for his arrest, and he would go to jail, and then my mom would bail him out. And she used her property to bail him out 3 times. My grandma went so far as taking my mom out of her will and putting it in my name because she didn't want my brother to get a hold of any of the money because they knew about all of his violations. Under his rules of supervision, he was supposed to report to his parole officer, and they just didn't care about what he was doing. They came and checked on him a few times. One time he had drugs in the house, and they said, clean it up and get rid of it. We'll be back tomorrow. They came back. It was cleaned up. They left. A month later, he got another charge. And then the next month after that, another charge. 2 months later, another charge. He probably had 10 violations or more by the time he killed my mom. And he should have gone back to prison and served the 3 years. And my mom quite possibly could be still alive to this day. My mom just was holed up in this room, passed out. He was giving her something called GHB, liquid G. She called me one time and she thought I was somebody else. Like, Mom, what are you doing? She's like, you can't tell your brother because he would be so mad at me. But he's been putting this stuff called liquid G in my drink. I'm like, is that why when I call sometimes you sound kind of groggy? I still have her voice on my recording, the last voicemail she left me. She said, hi, Robin, it's your mom. I'm sure you already know that. I just called to say hi and see what you're up to. Give me a call back. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Hasta la vista. And there was something in there after I listened to it multiple times. I almost felt like she was reaching out. And that was in June. She was murdered in July. So last time I talked to her was about June 20th, 2021. I called her back. My kids were here and I started sending her a bunch of pictures because for once she had her phone. I sent her a picture of my son playing guitar and we were singing this camp song that we used to sing when we were kids. She said, damn, I missed their whole lives, meaning my kids. She's like, I'm going to cry. And I said, don't cry. We love you. We just want you to come visit and be a part of our family. Leave that place. Let him live in squander. Still make the payment on the property and come live here with me. But she couldn't get away. The last person that saw her was her best friend, who went and stayed there for a couple days. She was in shock. He had so many people living there. She said there was no water. There were bags of poop all over the place. Everybody that was staying there were pooping in bags. Meanwhile, my mom has no money to buy food. Her friend was there and she's like, let's go get some Kentucky Fried Chicken. That was their favorite. My mom went to buy it. She had no credit on her credit card. So her best friend went in. She was kind of bold and she's like, hey, why doesn't your mom have any money? My brother got in her face and said, mind your own business. She told me everything that she saw. She could not believe her eyeballs how my mom was living. For the last 6 weeks of her life, she didn't have running water. She didn't have electricity. She didn't have a toilet. She had little to nothing, and I think she was tired of living that way.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
I found a laundry list of all the things that he had done to her over the course of 2014 to present. She was in the car because she didn't want him to take the car. And so he put his hands on her throat, took her out of the car, and then ripped the keys out of her finger and broke her finger. So she ended up going to the doctor and she told the doctor, my son did this. From what I understand, she told the doctor that if anything ever happens to me, it was my son. She also told her best friend that. That to me was pretty poignant, that she had the courage to say something.
Thank you again to Lola Blankets for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget that for a limited time, our listeners can get 40% off select Lola Blankets products with code WCN at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code WCN to get 40% off your order. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that What Came Next sent you. Wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets. What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.